mile of flapjacks.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah.
I need another beer.
Man, is this guy an idiot.
That same percentage he could butter my biscuits.
Oh, and I am going to slide the butter on that shit, and it is going to melt away all over your biscuits. And that's, I feel like that's legit.
Playing games with my heart.
My God, am I ever a piece of shit?
Beer in a headlight.
Fuck.
Can you answer the question? Or?
No, I'd rather pick those. No? What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're back. And, yeah, another week. And I'm excited for the show. I don't know if Kevin is as excited for the show as I am, dealing with sickness in his house this week. Yeah, parenting and family life can lead to sickness, house, germs.
Illness.
Definitely illness.
And nothing gets you sicker than when a kid comes home sick from, like, daycare. Because their, like, immune system hasn't been beaten down by, like, drugs and alcohol.
No.
So their immune system is, like, perfect. And they're like, oh, they're sick and they want to snuggle. And then you get it. It's like, what is this demon flu that I just caught? Oh, God, I'm fucking dying. You know, and they're like, oh, thanks a lot for taking it.
Yeah, it's the worst. When they bring his home, it's
kid
the worst.
Kid sick is the fucking worst.
Oh, kid sick. And then when you get it, man cold. I'm a man cold guy. Like, I suffer dramatically, like I've been shot in World War II and literally am on the mend and on my deathbed, like I've had my arm severed. And it literally, I'm the worst for a man cold. But when it hits, for whatever reason, they can go through and they're playing throughout the day. Like, they have their ups and downs, you know what I mean? Like, where their morning, they're all feeling like shit, and then later on in the afternoon, they're running around like a maniac. And then I'm like, I don't ever get that point when I'm sick that I just want to run around like a maniac and I'm happy. Like, I don't have that. I man cold hard.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I man cold. I'm on the couch. Pam!
You know, absolutely. Pam.
My wife's not even named Pam, no. So... It's,
no, so I do the same thing. Pam, can you call my mom?
That being said, though, I read an article the other day that was some university, I think it was in the States, that did it, did a research on it, and for some reason, biologically, men and women obviously were different, but their immune system is actually stronger than ours. So when we get sick and women make fun of us, like, oh, I had the same cold and it wasn't so bad, they don't get sick like we get sick. We get sick and it's like, duh!
Oh, yeah. like, it's hard. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's fucking brutal, man. Like, you're dying.
I know, I my wife, like, literally, she'll be like, she's sick, and she can run around with a maniac, and, like, and do things, and, like, she's like, I'm really sick, and I'm like, God, you could have fooled me, like, you, and then me, it's like, I'm sick, and it's like, yeah, I'm like, K.O., shut the door, leave me alone, don't talk to me, don't send the kids in here, for God's sakes, and, like,
just let me die, Just, I'm curling up here. It's like a dog, you know, an old dog found a place to lay down. It's just like, this is it. This is how it ends.
This is it. This is it. This is where my life's taking me. I've Kleenex stuffed in your
eyes. You're like, I regret it. I regret so much.
Oh, yeah. Kleenex stuffed in your nose. Like, just so dramatic, too, eh? Like, yeah, I'm the worst.
I get the chills, man. You're just like, oh, God. You're like, the only time I take a bath is when I get real sick. And
of
you're
course.
In the tub, you're like, dying. You're like, oh, fuck. And your wife's like, man, I had that same cold last week.
Yeah,
work.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, I'm fucking dying.
Yeah, I'm they don't
dying.
Understand.
I think my heart stopped like
they
twice.
Don't. They just don't understand what it's like. I don't know. Like, we don't get the same cold. It's true, because I'm just like, you know what? If you have it, I feel like I'm just curling up. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do it. It's tough, and I don't call in sick either. So I'll go in and tough it out. When I get home, it's like, I'm bagged. I'm done. Like, Just leave me alone.
Oh, man. It's funny because, like, I worked, like, you know, I'm a dude, man. I do jujitsu. I played combat. I played full contact sports growing up. I mean, I played injured. I work injured. I've, you know, cut my hand, and you've got, like, a cut on your finger, and you're working all day, and you keep banging that stupid cut all day long. Yeah. So you're just constantly in pain. You know, and, like, all day, man, broken toes, worked with a broken toe, like, taped it to the other toes and, like, kept working. But when I get the fucking black plague that is kid's flu, man, there's nothing I can do, man. I'm like, you know, I'm pissing out my ass, man. Like, fucking, I can't. I'm so dehydrated. I lose, like, 15 pounds in the week that I have the flu. I'm like, I can't. I'm not going to make it. You know, you're doing your last will and testament.
Fucking, it's done.
I'm dying. Is it? Call a priest.
It's over. It's over.
We need a fucking exorcism. Get this fucking demon out of me.
I do want to get into, like, obviously we have a lot of sports to talk about this week. And shit, dog.
I've been working on my Bill impression. And
why? Because I can do Kevin so well.
Yeah.
Adrian.
I am currently irritated.
Yes. Yeah, I know you're irritated. You just hate everything. You are an old grump, like, honestly. But anyways,
speaking of
old grump, because I am one as well, and that's why we're friends. And we have a lot of sports to talk about. We have a couple things we want to get into. Obviously, we're going to get into our Super Bowl predictions a little bit later on. Woo. And we are going to get into our trade bait predictions now that we're in the All-Star break for the NHL season. And I'm sure we'll get into some other sports topics as well. But before we get into that, I'm already 7 minutes into the show, but I wanted to talk about something.
Mm.
And it actually, you know, it's funny. We were going to do the show Wednesday, and I had this lined up. Not only did it happen beforehand, it happened again today. And today I was the recipient. Like, so today I was Betty. So, and I say Betty because I was in line a couple weeks ago, and I'm at a store, and I'm grocery shopping, and for purposes of slander, we'll just call this the stupid whore. So I was at the stupid whore, and I'm in line, and I'm about the fourth person in line, and there's a whole bunch of people in front of us, or a whole bunch of people, like a whole bunch of food. Just food everywhere. People, their carts are filled. Four people, and there's a little old lady at the till, and everybody's going about their business, right? You have the whole lady at the till. You got 1 second. I just magically had a drink made for me.
Mm. Is this one of your children?
My wife, actually. How dare you call her a child?
Tell Mel I said hi.
So, anyways, you know, you're standing in line. You know how lines work. You got the mom in next in line. She's got two kids. She's yelling at him. She's like, listen, just stop it. I'll get you a chocolate bar if we can get out of here. Just stop for 5 minutes. Like, she's giving her kids shit. She's hyped up. And then the next person in line is a couple, cute couple, new couple. They're still interlocked arms. They're still happy, giving each other little kisses. They're excited to bring their first grocery meal home. Like, they're having fun. This is a great moment for them, right? And I'm in the back going, oh, my God, can I get the hell out of this line? And it's everybody's going about their business. And then it's like everything stops. It dramatically comes to a stop. And everybody focuses towards the till. Because you hear this like, boop, boop, doop. And it's multiple times that something is going through the scanner and it's not working. And they're fumbling. And the cashier, Linda, she's panicking, like panicking. And I say Linda, she's a middle-aged woman. She's, you know what, she does this job. She feeds her kids at home. She's in a moment. She knows as soon as she swipes that thing the first time, immediately she's in panic mode. It doesn't work. And it's not going to work the next time. They're trying to fold it. They're smoothing the crease out. It's a block of cheese, right? It's a block of cheese. It's not working. You know how the block of cheese, like, it comes around. It's only 1 inch thick, but the barcode goes underneath. So they can't quite get the full barcode or whatever. And this, the struggle ensues. And everybody in that line looks towards the front of that line. And immediately... The first thing that I like, everybody knows, the first thing that you do, you look toward the line and you look at Betty. Betty's a 76-year-old woman at the till. She just wants to get her groceries. But Betty's bound and determined. She's like, she wants that block of cheese. But everybody looks at Betty like, it's your fucking fault, Betty. You picked that wrong fucking block of cheese. Betty, how the fuck could you pick the wrong block of cheese? You got lineups of people behind you. Now I have to wait for you because you know those famous words are coming. Price check. And everybody's been in that moment where you have to wait for a price check. Now Linda has to call Suzanne over. She's reading the paper in the back at the fucking, you know, on the other side where they have the fucking, the what do you call it there, the people bring in, there's the customer service. She's not busy at customer service. She's going to bring Linda over to customer service. She's going to be, Linda, can you go to the very far back corner of the fucking store? Because that's where the cheese is located, conveniently. And can you go back there and get me a fucking price check? And immediately you know, okay, here's 10 minutes. Because Linda's going to be like, I don't even know the kind. Susan's going to be like, I don't know the kind of cheese. I'm going to have to go look and... It's just going to be a struggle. And it actually happened to me again today, which was the best part. I was Betty. I was Betty today. And I made this woman go all the way back to the store, and she had no idea what she was looking for. But where on this planet, and this is what the point I'm trying to get to, is we can make a computer the size of a crumb. A crumb! We can't find the price of fucking cheese when we got two computers in front of us. You cannot tell me that you cannot find the price of cheese without walking 6 fucking miles to the back of the store to tell me the price of a block of cheese? Are you kidding me? Have we not advanced far enough in society? I could look it up on my, I could look up on the phone. I could be like, you know what? Guess what? It's $7.95. It's rolled back today. Sales on sale till Monday. Like, I could tell you that from my phone, Linda. Like, why do I have to go to the back of the store? Like, I don't understand. How do we still as a society have to do a price check in a lineup of 75 fucking people at fucking the stupid horse store, and that's where we are with society. We can make, it's incredible. I don't understand at this point in time.
You're really upset about this.
Because everybody knows, Kevin, you know, if you're the guy in line and your thing doesn't start, it she's struggling, and you know there's people behind you, and if I'm that guy, Betty's like, I'm having that block of cheese. I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. I'm taking that block of cheese. Me, I'm different. If I'm in line and I see the price check going and I see that they're struggling, it's like I stop them midway before they're even grabbing that phone to be like, price check. It's like, listen. You know what? I thought real hard about my life right now. And I don't need McCain's super price today. You know what? I can just put them to the side. And keep rolling with the scanning.
You'd
just
give up scanning. Your McCain
Super I would give up this McCain Super Fries today so you can keep scanning.
What about
so
the McCain Curly Fries, man? No.
You know what? I would give up the Curly Fries. I probably could get through cash, go back around, and go get them my fucking self and come back through cash before fucking Susan can get back there. Like, that's the thing. This is ridiculous that we still have price check in today's day and age.
You all right, I've got a grocery story for you. You want to know how fucking terrible of a person I am? So this is it. So I'm at the grocery store the other day, and same thing, I'm in line, and there's an old lady that's ahead of me, and she's got a ton of groceries, right? She's got a ton of groceries, so there's a lady ahead of her. They get through her stuff. And the grocery store I go to is, like, super slow. They don't have, like, a bag boy. They don't have anybody to help. And most people don't bag their own groceries. I do, because I don't want to be there any longer than I have to.
Yeah.
Right? I want to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I'm in the line, and there's an old lady ahead of me, and she's got a bunch of shit. And not only does she have a bunch of shit, but she got, like, some heavy stuff, you know? Like, some big water bottles and, like, some fucking bags of road salt. Like, I'm not even sure how she got
them. Of course.
I can see, yeah. You know, I can see that she's struggling, right?
Seven bags of cat litter. Just whatever.
Yeah, you know, yep. So I decide, because I can see her struggling, so I go over there and I offer to help her. Right? I'm like, yo, let me give you a hand. And she's like, oh, thank you. You know, everybody's, and the lady behind the till is like, oh, you know, yeah, great job. Thank you. It's so nice to see a nice young man who's helping people out. And I never corrected anybody. Never told anybody what my real motive was the entire time.
Sure.
I wanted to get that old lady the fuck out of there. I wanted to go the fuck home. And I'm like, if I have to sit here and watch you struggle with a 20-pound bag of road salt, I'm going to shoot myself in the face. I'm going to go over there and be like, well, just going to speed this fucking process up for you a little bit. I'll double bag that shit, throwing it up there, picking the bags. And everybody's like, oh, he's such a nice guy. And I'm like, inside, I'm like, get the fuck out of my way.
That's exactly it.
Shit to do. I'm like, and then I left the store, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm such a piece of shit. I didn't do that to help that old lady. I did it because you were going to take forever.
And that old lady and Francine. We'll call her Francine. I like Francine. We'll call her Francine. And you know, but she'll tell you seven times, I don't need your help. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck, you don't need my help. How the fuck are you going to be able to walk out of here with 10 fucking bags of salt?
Yeah, road salt. I watched her try to lift it out, man. It was like almost needed to come along on an overhead crane to get that fucking thing out of there. You know,
she's trying to do like a and Francine's like a deadlift. Going, no, I can handle it.
She's got it like a deadlift position, like she's like sumo, you know, like close grip deadlift. And I'm like, this is such poor posture. I'm like, this woman is gonna injure herself. And I'm like, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, I have T-minus 30 minutes to get the fuck going to do what other shit I have going
people
on.
People just don't get it.
I don't have time.
You gotta move. There's etiquette, right? You gotta keep the flow moving. That's why I said I would give up the McCain Super Fries, because it's like, you know what? I can sacrifice, because there's four other people back there that were thinking what I was thinking before. Well, this guy hurried the fuck up. How could you pick the wrong goddamn bag of McCain Super Fries that doesn't have the fucking thing on it? So I don't like to be that guy, but I was that guy today.
I never think that, man. I'm the totally opposite. I'm irritated that I'm in line, but generally, yeah, I'm not giving back my Super Fries, man.
No, I apologize to everybody today. So today we had an older Chinese lady. It was Canadian back bacon.
Delicious.
Yes, it was amazing. Or it's going to be amazing. But anyways, we're in line. It's got no barcode on it. And she's dumbfounded. The worst part is she hands it to me to look for the barcode. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to you. There's no barcode. You can't look it up? She's like, no. This lady, and of course she's Asian. She's been there probably 3 days. Never seen her before. And she goes, okay, where did you get this? And I'm like, you work here. You don't know where I got this? And like, this is in the back corner. And there's people piling up. This woman's already piling her stuff. Like, you know, once you've already committed to a line, you've already piled all your stuff onto the conveyor belt. You're now committed line. You're not moving lines now.
No.
So you're stuck on that line. And that's the thing. So this woman has already piled up everything on there. And then this woman's like, okay, I'm going to go look. She leaves the till. It's not even anybody else. There's another woman in customer service literally today. She's reading a newspaper. She had come over to help her turn on the till earlier. Now she couldn't be bothered with the fact that this woman can't find the Canadian back bacon price. And she had to go all the way to the back of the store. She's gone for 5 minutes. I'm thinking, I should have went with her, because I don't think she knows where the fuck to look. Because she's like, where'd you get this? I'm like, the very back. Like, it's in the back row.
Funny, because the tone you have is like when they ask you, like, when people ask you stupid questions like that, they're like, where'd you get this? It's like, I brought it in from outside.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, it's in the back with the rest of the fucking back bacon.
It's in your fucking store. Like, it's in the bacon section, would assume. I'd be like, what do you want me to fucking say to you right
it's
now?
It's kind of near the morning sausage. It's kind of near the morning sausage. A little bit left is the morning. Yeah. Like, right is the bacon, and then the back bacon. Like, what do you want me to fucking tell you?
Yeah, it's in the back corner right beside the do your fucking job.
Yeah, like, are you telling me you could have looked that up? Like, okay, so if I just look up the name back bacon, will it tell me the price? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just thinking you had to go get the barcode from back of the store.
You should start bartering with her. Like, I think it's worth $8.99. I've got $9 cash right now and I walk out of here.
I'm not gonna lie to you. At one point, because I was with my wife, and at one point when she handed it to me to look for, I thought she just handed it to me to be like, here, you look for it, you can't find it, oh, okay, just put it in your bag. I thought she was just gonna give it to me at one point, because it's like, this doesn't have a barcode on it. I'm also confirming you can't do your job here. I'm like, what do you want me to fucking do with this? Like, it was funny.
So, I had an odd interaction at the convenience store like a half an hour ago. So, I like to buy those like big squishies, you know, like a Slurpee, and it's a nice treat for me every once in a while. I only get them like once a week when I get home, right? So we're doing the podcast. I'm like, I'm getting one. So I go there, and The situation happened to me.
Treat night when it's podcast night. I like it.
Yeah. The same fucking podcaster. The same guy each time. So I walk in and I put it up on the till and I had some Halls because my throat hurts.
Yeah.
And he's like, he looks at me and he's like, I need you to turn that cup. And I'm like, pardon? He's like, I need you to turn it. The barcode's on the other side. I'm like, why the fuck don't you turn it? And he's like, I don't want to touch it. I'm like, you don't want to touch the cup? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, don't touch my fucking straw, but you can touch the bottom of the cup.
Are you kidding me? I would have lost it.
And he's fucking looking at me, and we're having this awkward moment. I'm like, why the fuck do I have to turn the goddamn cup for you to scan it? Like, you're not putting your fingers in my fucking drink, right? Like, as long as you don't touch my straw or my drink or the lid, I feel like the bottom 25% of the cup is more than okay for other people to touch it. It's going in the cup holder in my car that I have spilt coffee in like a year ago and never cleaned it out. You know, when the nickels and shit are all stuck in the cup holder, you know? I don't give a fuck about the outside of that plastic cup. It's going to be fine.
Oh, be okay. My goodness.
Don't put your fingers in my drink. Awkward as fuck.
Right? I would have been actually mad. I would have been like, grab my fucking cup and scan it. Like, what the hell's wrong with you, lazy
fucker?
Turn the
motherfucking cup, man. Like, and we're just at this awkward standoff moment where I'm like, man, fuck you, man. Yeah, you turn the goddamn cup. I'm not turning
anyways,
the cup.
Anyways, fuck.
All
right. Anyways, that's my annoyance of the day. I don't know if you agree. Obviously you don't agree with me, but when I'm in line, I hate one of those people that's a realist that I'll sit there and I love watching people's body languages and the way people operate, right? So and then at the same time I'm also annoyed that I'm standing there and waiting for shit to happen, but it's society.
Right.
And it's society. But anyways, we do have sports to talk about. This is a sports show, believe it or not.
27 minutes into it here.
Believe it or not, it is a sports show. 24 minutes, easy now.
All right.
We talked for three before, so you can't go.
Yeah, fair.
We do have sports to talk about, so obviously, we have a Super Bowl next weekend.
Super Bowl!
Hey! I like Super Bowl. I associate my marriage with it because I got married the day after a Super Bowl.
Hey, I associate mine with fantasy football. I keep telling her we've been together like 9 seasons of fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were there. You were at my wedding, so you know. We watched the Super Bowl night before I got married.
That's right. We watched it. We watched New England.
We watched New England win again. We did against the Seattle. One of the Super Bowls that I really wished New England would have won, because I fucking hate Seattle. We know that.
They did beat Seattle.
Yeah, because I know, and that was amazing, and it was it was all because all because of that throw.
I missed what you said there.
All because of the throw, right? Remember, it was all because of the stupidity, and it made him look good. And I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I fucking hate Seattle because everybody here pretends they're a Seattle fan, and you know this. You work here. You lived here. But that's just that's the nature of the beast. But this time, I do not want New England to win. Great game, by the way. We can touch back on what the games won by last week, and we didn't talk about it. But definitely, you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, look at New England came back! New England came back!" It's more like Jacksonville pissed it away to me. They had the opportunity to stop them, and they didn't. But nonetheless, I it's funny. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to think you're going to agree with me, or at least be kind of on the same page about it. But I hate New England, that the fact that they're in another Super Bowl. Yet, as a person who loves sports and loves media and loves the type of thing that revolves around it, would not be as intrigued with the Super Bowl if Jacksonville was there instead of New England. Are you in agreement with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Man, who cares about Blake Bortles?
Is there not? It's just New England just brings this. And I don't want to say I'm part of the media, but somebody who enjoys sports and everything that goes around with it. New England just brings this, they bring entertainment. They bring entertainment value. There's a lot of bullshit that surrounds New England, bullshit and winning and other crap that goes around. They are just, they're intriguing, if anything. Right? I mean, I don't want them to win, but having them there kind of brings that extra entertainment value to the Super Bowl. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I agree. We, you know, there's other teams that would have too. Like, I mean, I'd be interested if it would have been Pittsburgh or New Orleans or.
Sure, but isn't there more drama with New England?
It's the Tom Brady effect.
And Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick, kind of, but it's more the Tom Brady effect. You're waiting to see what Brady's going to do in the fourth quarter, because it seems like that's what he does now. And as far as your Jacksonville quote, I don't know, man. I don't know if Jacksonville lost that game.
Pissed it away.
I think Blake Bortles turned into Blake Bortles, like, midway through the third quarter.
Well, we all knew what Blake Bortles.
He was playing real
right.
Well in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he turned into, like, Blake Bortles, and it was evident that if Jacksonville's quarterback wasn't playing up to snuff, I mean, 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do with that? I mean, you can't have that, and I mean,
no,
they didn't do shit. They didn't do shit in the second half. No, so Belichick made adjustments. Brady made adjustments. I mean, what do you do against New England, man? We could say Jacksonville lost it, but I don't know. I think New England just figured them out.
I do, and New England just tends to figure things out, and whether or not they're filming practices or deflating footballs, they seem to figure out shit. They seem to figure out other
teams. I think Philly's gonna have their number.
I wanted to get to this point is I love, I mean, Carson Wentz was obviously in my, I've said it before, he was MVP before he got hurt. Him going down was a big deal to Philly, but at the same time, wouldn't it be nice to have a backup named Nick Foles, a guy who had two seasons that were pretty dominant. I remember having him as my QB in fantasy football, which we didn't do this year, and we will do again, by the way. side topic. I missed it with all you guys. But, anyways, he has the ability to win games. And I always thought he was a decent enough quarterback as it was. But I love the underdog story. I love the backup coming in and trying to prove something. And I'll tell you, last week with the yardage that he put up, 350 plus, three TDs. I mean, I would love nothing more that if their offense is able to score points against New England's defense and New England's up against a Philadelphia defense who's fucking good. I would love nothing more for them to be beaten, and I honestly get this feeling that Philadelphia may actually do it. I thought Atlanta. I never. It's funny because Atlanta had a beat last year, and I actually didn't think Atlanta could beat them, even though they were as good as team as they were. Now the big meltdown that they had, they should have, but. I didn't think they could. Philadelphia, I get a different feeling. What about yourself?
I don't know, man. I think Philly. I'm gonna have to agree. I think Philly can win this.
I thought you fell asleep for a moment.
I think Philly can win this, man. I really do. I think. I mean, they've got a decent enough defense. They're good on the run, and Nick Foles has been killing it.
Yeah,
he's been killing it. So, it's going to be an interesting game, man. It really is. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised, though, if, like, they're winning, like, 20-10 going into the half, and New England comes out with a different game plan and just starts burning them and wins by 3 points.
Yeah? Yeah, no, I mean, New England has the ability to find a way to back into a game, and obviously we've seen that time and time, and that's something that we're used to. And Tom Brady, I mean, I know we've had this argument many times before, who's the greatest quarterback that ever lived, and I know as much as I argued it was Aaron Rodgers, the more I think about it, championships speak for themselves, and Tom Brady is a championship quarterback who can't do any wrong, and Coach Belichick figures out game plans. And what I like about Belichick and what he brings to the table is that he changes his game plan as the game goes on. And that's what makes a great coach, is that he figures shit out. And they're getting bombed for 3 quarters, and next thing you know, Brady's coming in there and in the fourth quarter, and he's able to just peel a defense apart. You think that's just Brady? No. Belichick figured some shit out.
I don't know, man, because honestly, like, that last game, I'm trying to think of the name of the guy. But Jacksonville had, like, a fucking Pro Bowl corner.
Are you wrestling? Real quick question. Are you wrestling with your iPad currently?
No, I'm walking outside for a smoke.
Oh, okay.
But they had a Pro Bowl corner. Jacksonville's corner. He's a Pro Bowl corner, and he started getting burnt by one of New England's receivers. And it was like it started like late in the second quarter. He got burnt on a couple of routes, and then the third quarter they went to him a few more times to see if he was going to burn him again, and he burnt him a few more times. And he hadn't even really caught any passes. He was just burning him on the routes, and then they started exploiting it. And it's like they're watching that shit, man. Like, if they're winning battles, even if they're not focused on that play, somebody in New England is focused on what is happening in every matchup on the field at all times. And if somebody is getting the better of somebody, you just notice that Brady just starts working that direction all of a sudden out of nowhere. So I don't know if it's Brady or if it's Belichick or if it's the guys upstairs, but there is somebody in there that, like, is literally monitoring every single one-on-one matchup that they have.
Well, and
if they see any weakness or any, if they could exploit anything, they're on it. And they did, man. And they exploited the fuck out of that corner. He was getting burnt. And he's a Pro Bowl corner, man. He was not putting hands on the, I want to say the receiver for New England was Cook, but I can't remember his name. And he wasn't putting hands on him on the line, and he was busting through, man. And dude was, he's like an Olympic sprinter, this guy. He was burning him on the routes.
they have the ability to do that though, and
not a lot of teams do that though. They don't do it on the fly like that. You know what I mean? They don't find those matchups that they can do. They'll try to find them before the game, and if they don't work, they don't seem to exploit these matchups as they go on. But
they're about the science of the game. They're about the science of the game. And it's a scientific formula that they're constantly evaluating throughout the game. And
it's a scientific fact.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill.
Anyway. How do we beat these guys? Well, let me tell you this.
First,
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, first, and then you pour in out of the beaker.
Oh, out of the Bunsen burner. Yeah, there's one the mad Bunsen scientist in the back. Like, yes, I've done it. Watermelonium.
Bunsen burner. I love it. They're a team to be reckoned with. I'm tired of them winning. I want them to get beat. Yeah, they are what it is. I will give them props. I will give them respect. They are a winning franchise, and they've created something that's pretty special.
Does Philly have a Super Bowl ring?
Pardon me?
Does Philly have a Super Bowl? Does Philadelphia have a Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I don't think when they went back in 2004... what's his name?
Donovan McNabb.
Donovan McNabb. I don't think he got a Super Bowl. So
he didn't. No, I don't think they have one. I would like to see Philly get one.
I'd have to look up, but
spread the love, man. Spread the love.
Well, I do want to spread the love, and I think it would be great. I mean,
because like, what Tom Brady gonna do now? Is he gonna have a pinky ring or a toe ring? Is that what he's gonna do? Like we were talking the other day, he's gonna have a toe ring for his Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
You know, because Tom Brady wears Birkenstocks.
Oh, you were expensive. $3,500.
Yeah. They're made of real panda. You know, his Birkenstocks are made of, like, black rhino horn.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
and he's got a pinky toe ring. And he's like, yeah, it's not just a pinky toe ring. It's, you know, or maybe he'll go with a friendship bracelet instead of a ring this time. He'll get like, yeah, give me one of those ankle bracelets. But just make it the Super Bowl, my Super Bowl ring, yeah. Because I'm Tom Brady. And a seashell necklace. Because
I can.
Puka necklaces.
Because I can.
What's up, bro? Surf's up, bro.
Oh, yeah. You know,
do you even Super Bowl, bro?
Like I said, we were talking about it. It was like, if he wears Crocs, they're actually real Crocs.
Yeah, real crocodiles.
They're crocodiles.
Yeah. Yeah, like crocodile heads that he cut off. That he jumped in the water with a knife. And just killed these two Crocs and just walks out with their heads, like, wearing them as shoes. He's like, yeah, Tom Brady. That's what I do.
Tom Brady, you know? Tom Brady.
He's kind of a beast, man. I can't see him wearing mandals. I can't see him wearing those Nike strap-on sandals, you know, with the socks. You know? Khaki shorts.
Oh, yeah.
With a fanny pack.
Yo, the fanny pack. That would be the. Yeah.
But if Tom Brady did, he'd still butter biscuits like that. Yeah. He still would. He could dress like total dad, you know, like the whitest legs you've ever seen, like never seen the sun. You know, just.
Yeah, but it's Tom Brady. He can't do it.
It's Tom fucking Tom Brady.
Because then you look over to his wife, who's been, you know what I mean? And they'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's Tom Brady.
We're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Just a quick thing. Philadelphia. The last time they won a championship was 1960, but they have never won a modern day Super Bowl.
Dang. All right.
Yeah. Move so on. I mean, who do you got? Who do you got? And how does it shake up?
I got Philadelphia winning. Philadelphia winning big, because I can't see Philly winning a tight one. If it gets tight, I mean, once it gets tight, Brady. I mean, you can't sleep on him, right? If it's close going into the fourth quarter, I feel
greatest
like Brady
general.
Will pull it out. Yeah, he's a general, man. I feel like he'll pull it out. But I've got Philly winning big. I think they're gonna go after him, and they've got to keep their foot on the gas.
I got
man.
Philly
I mean,
winning big
thing.
Too because I think Philly's defense is really good, Yeah. And I got Philly. I got Philly picking off Tom Brady in the first half.
Mm.
I'm thinking that is going to create a big, big event, whether or not it's a pick six or whether or not it's a pick and then gone deep into enemy territory. But I just think Philly's good. I think their defense is going to be good enough, and I think Nick Foles has got what it takes to carry that offense where they need to go. And I like it. I want to see it happen. Whether or not it happens, whether or not we're talking the next time we have this podcast and the New England Patriots are Super Bowl champions, then we have to sit here and talk about it and act like we give a fuck.
All right.
Well, they're not.
Yeah.
But that's what I think. I also agree with you. I think Philly actually beats them. I'm going to go with a score of 35-17. I'd like to see it a walk in the park, but we all know that football's it's a different breed, and we'll see what happens. I could be dead fucking wrong. Come next weekend.
Yeah.
But that being said, this is a weekend that we're doing our podcast that sports fucking blows. Except for, I will, however, mention really quickly, the fact that Tiger Woods did make a fucking cut this weekend.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Just barely. Yes, he's not playing very well, though.
Barely.
His short game is really good, but his driver, holy fuck, he had three fairways today, man.
Barely. I didn't look at Saturday's game. Did he fall apart? I actually did not look at today's game.
He shot
game.
A 2-under today. His short game, he hit three fucking fairways, and he shot 2-under.
Wow, good for him. So, he's not in contention. But do you not... Okay, so we'll touch on this quickly before we get in. Do you not think that a successful tournament to him already? It's already a successful tournament the fact that he made the cut, because he was on the borderline and he made the attempt to make the cut. And as far as I'm concerned, if he wants to get back into playing shape, I think he needs to play more. That's another topic.
Oh, yeah. He's grinding right now, man. That's to be expected when you haven't competed in like a year and a half.
Yeah, and that's going to be another topic of conversation, is whether or not he's going to play in more tournaments. He can't do Tiger of Old's schedule where he's just fucking around and playing.
But he's got a two-way miss right now that's really fucked up, and it's like really bad with the driver, like really bad. But his short game has been phenomenal. Like
his touch
around the greens, and like. They were talking the other day, I think it's number 8 at Torrey Pines. He has, in his whole career, he has never bogeyed that hole. Never, ever. Not one time has he bogeyed number 8.
No. That's
crazy.
Isn't
that fucked
up? He's a different breed, and you know what? He's back. He's playing well. The swing looks good. Yes, he's not good off the drive. He needs some more tournaments. We agree on that. I think he needs to play more tournaments. I don't think he can be as picky as he was before. I think he needs to go out there and play some fucking tournaments. He can't just show up to random events because that's what makes you better, and you need the competitiveness in you. Yeah, so we had some technical difficulties there. Because I was talking about Tiger before, and I do think he needs to play a few more tournaments. And I think he has the ability to at least be relevant. At least him making a cut in his first tournament back, that's pretty good progress. What do you think?
Yeah, it's good progress, man, but I mean his stats are not looking good right now. Like he did not hit the ball well, and he switched to that new TaylorMade driver, the M3 with the twist, And he was hitting the ball a lot better in the Bahamas with the M2 or the M1
yep.
that he was playing. And he switched to the M3, and now it wasn't nearly as good. He's got a really bad two-way miss. And, I mean, he's fucking snap duck hooking him and, like, slicing him. It looks like an amateur, but, I mean, 298-yard carry, you know, like a ridiculous carry. If he gets with the way his short game was today and yesterday, if the short game stays where it is and he gets the driver going, holy shit. Like, look out. Only reason he shot under par today was because his short game saved his ass. He didn't hit a lot of greens. He hit three fairways today. But his short game is really, really fucking good right now. Like, you remember, the last comeback, he was duffing chips around
the green and shit.
He doesn't have that anymore, man. He does not have the yips around the green.
It was rough.
And what I like to see is that he's gone to this, like, little punch shot where he's not trying, like, he's nipping them, but he's not trying to be super fancy with it. He's like, it's like a 9-iron bump and run that he's playing.
Yeah.
And he's killing it with it. And he's just playing flop, like, big flop shots that are landed and sticking and, you know, like, 1 inch to the hole, like, man, if he gets the irons going,
so,
he gets the driver even adequate, because he was never really a great driver. He was long, but he was never super, super accurate. Yeah. He gets the driver even at average or a little above average for the rest of the field. The way a short game is, man, he's going to be strokes gained all day.
So, is this a success?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And I hope that it goes well, and hope he plays some more tournaments.
Yeah, me
that
too.
Being said, we wanted to get into some NHL talk, but we will at another time. And I think we'll have time coming up, but we are, due to time constraints, we'll get into the Sad Pal. And we'll hit that music on Sad Pal, the Suck a Dick Player of the Week.
Sad pal.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You want to suck a dick?
It's time now for the Suck a Dick Player of the Week.
Remember it. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a fuck.
Suck my wiggly dick.
So who do you got?
All right. So I don't know if you I've used him before, but I kind of want to get into it again because it's a really irritating topic. So I was watching First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, and they were discussing how Jason Kidd just got fired as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
Okay. So then Stephen A. Smith goes into this rant about how there are only two African American coaches in the NBA right now, in a league that has 70% African-American players. Okay, all right, I'm trying to see where he's going with it, right? He starts going off about how there's a problem because they don't have enough African-American coaches. Mm-hmm. Now, that irritates me to no end. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's implying that teams, that the Milwaukee Bucks should not have fired Jason Kidd due to the fact that he's African-American and there are only two coaches in the league right now that are African-American. Man, I mean, that's pushing it. That's pushing it pretty hard. I understand the league is 70% African-American, but we're not going to be pushing the panic button because there's only 30% white players in the NBA, are we? Are we going to make a rule that you have to have, like, five white players on your team on a roster of 25 players? I feel like that's not the case, and the team shouldn't be held hostage because, well, you need to have this many African-American coaches or this many African-American players or this many African-American general managers or whatnot. At what point did we lose the best guy for the job? Jason Kidd is coaching a team that is full of future superstars. They've got Milwaukee actually has a really good team, but they're only like eighth in the East right now. And he got fired. It happens. There are a multitude of coaches fired every year that maybe shouldn't have got fired or should have been fired the year before. Mm-hmm. I don't hear anything being said about that, If it was a white coach, they wouldn't have anything to say about it. But because he's an African-American coach, and there are some other coaches that are being talked about being fired, like Doc Rivers, and there's another coach in the NBA that they're talking about might lose his job, or Tyronn Lue from the Cavaliers. I mean, the Cavaliers look like a mess right now, an absolute mess. And the Clippers look like a mess, too. So at what point are you allowed to fire these people, or you're not allowed to fire them because they're African-American? It seems unfair.
But
he's not even my suck-a-dick player of the week. My suck-a-dick player of the week is actually Max Kellerman, because Max Kellerman doesn't have the balls to even argue with Stephen A. Smith whenever he brings race up in any way, shape, or form. He just panders to him and kisses his ass, and it's really just irritating to watch. You sit there and watch him, and you're like, you're just such a suck-ass. Like, you're such a kiss-ass. Just, oh, yeah, Steven, I totally understand, and it's totally not fair, and it's a system that's built around not hiring black coaches. And I don't feel like that's the case. If that is the case, then we need to fix it. But I don't think that that's the case in Jason Kidd getting fired from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Very good point. I agree wholeheartedly on everything you just said. I that's kind of that's a ridiculous, I don't know, hot take.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah. Not trying to be that guy pushing the button, but I mean, that's irritating to me that you know, it's like the rule in the Canadian football. You know, like they have to have like how many Canadians on their team, but most of those Canadians don't even play. They sit on the bench. It's like, well, we need to have them on the roster spots because we need to have them. Why? Why not just have the best guys for the job? You know what I mean? Like, how many great African players wouldn't be playing in the NBA if they had a rule that you had to have 50% white players on your team?
Yeah.
You know why? More African American players? Because they're better.
Yep.
Because they're fucking better.
Because it just is what it is, and it is what it is. And
they're better. They're just great athletes. They're better than us. You know, they're the best players generally play. And that's how it works. And I'm not saying that there aren't great black coaches, because there absolutely is. And they should be given the opportunity to get the job. But that should be the system, is it's the best guy for the job.
That's it.
And the
best guy at that time for the job.
And you shouldn't be held.
Nope.
Owners and teams shouldn't be held in check to make sure that there's this many African-American coaches. That's bullshit.
Okay. I like it.
Okay.
I do. I agree wholeheartedly. That being said, my suck-a-dick player of the week is going to go out to Gary Bettman. Jerry. Oh. Jerry Bettman. I like Jerry better.
Gary B.
It's GB. GB. And the only reason, and it's an overall, it's Gary Bettman, and it's a system. And so today, he did talk about, before the All-Star break, that, quote-unquote, goalie interference.
Oh.
And he said, overall, the system works.
On goalie interference?
On goalie interference.
Okay.
Fuck you, Gary Bettman. Because the system does not work. The system is retarded. And overall, on the system, on the thing that really pisses me off is that he only commented, he briefly touched by the offside rule, which means he's ignoring the fact that the offside rule is actually probably more prominent than goalie interference, because I think the offside rule is absolutely fucking ridiculous. The fact that you can throw a challenge flag out on an offside 25 seconds later. That being said, no, let's go back to the goalie interference. And let's go back to Gary Bettman saying that the system works, because we had four games this week and that had goalie interference challenges. And two being with the Toronto Maple Leafs, another one being with the Edmonton Oilers. And there was another one, I think it was a Buffalo. I think might have been a Buffalo game, and I don't remember where it was on that. But nonetheless, if we go back to even the three, You got a goaltender interference in the Colorado game against Toronto. Bernier's stick and glove go in between Austin Matthews' leg. Bernier is looking up into the crowds. I don't know what the fuck he's looking at, but he's not looking at the play. Puck goes in, and they overturn the goal when Matthews backs up. He hits the rebound. They overturn the goal. They say it's not. It's goaltender interference because Matthews' legs had hit his pet very briefly, and then the stick kind of comes up and hits his face. It hits his face mask, but it came up really fast and he hit his face mask and come back down. Anyways, that being said, there's no way. Every single analyst that I've watched said that that was a goal. And how could you call that? Very next night, you go into Chicago, and I can't remember the player's name. Again, he is draped so that it's now on the other hand. Draped all over McElhinney. It was Anderson. It was 2 days later. It was Anderson. He draped all over him, and he's hanging off of him, and they call it a goal. And you're thinking, you're scratching your head, you're going, what the fuck are you talking about? How is that a goal in comparison to the one that you just saw literally 2 days before? You said that this was no goal, and this fucking guy's hanging all over him, laying on him, and it's a goal? Okay. Minor inconsistency. Now, uproot yourself, go into the Edmonton-Calgary game, where in overtime, another player, Connor McDavid, another all-star player, basically mocking the refs eventually in the shootout. I don't know if you saw that earlier this week, but again, goaltender interference where it's like the slightest touch hit it was so quick and so brief. And again, it's like how the inconsistency on goaltender interference and the fact that you're able to go back and challenge it, and that it's all completely and utterly up to interpretation. The word interpretation. Let's put that unquote, unquote, interpretation with a big fucking red bow on it, because that is all that rule is made up by is on referee interpretation. The referee goes over to the penalty box. He looks at it on a fucking iPad and he says goal or no goal. It doesn't even go to Toronto. It goes on to the referee's interpretation of whether or not that was a goal, whether or not he thinks that may have been goaltender interference. There is no black and white rule. And for Batman to sit there and say that the overall fucking system works is the most ludicrous thing that I've ever seen. I mean, it happened to Edmonton even last year, if you don't recall, in the playoffs when Kessler had his hands on Talbot's pad holding it down, and they called it a goal, and it wasn't goaltender interference. Where do you draw the line? How do you fix that problem? I don't understand it, and I don't understand Bettman to be so full of himself, so I don't even know the words that I want to use, but could he be blind, or is he just stubborn and saying that the system works because Batman was the one who helped push along the coach's challenge on goaltender interference?
Here's my question for you. Is that even Batman's job?
It is Bettman's job to ensure that these policies and changes take place. And Bettman,
yeah, no, I don't think it
no,
is.
No. Bettman is the last person to sign off on any single rule that goes on in the NHL. And
he might be, but I don't think that's his like main focus, right? Like, I don't think Gary Bettman's like, he's like the queen.
No. Like, no. Are you kidding me?
I don't think he determines.
You don't think he knows?
I don't even know if he likes hockey.
I think he has everything to do with it. Batman has everything to do with it. He is, honest to God, he has more pull and more say than you think he actually does. There, honest to God, he is the one pulling the strings on all these issues. And if he wanted it to go away, Gary Bettman could make it go away. If he wanted the offside rule to go away, which is stupid, and I still think they need, if they're not going to take out the challenge, they need to change that rule. Because I've got a good idea for that rule. That puck should always be, if that puck is ever shot at the goalie or past the red line in the offensive zone, and then you should not be able to go back and review it offside. The fact that they can review a goal that's 25 seconds later, it doesn't make any sense to me. But again, Bettman has all that say into it. I have to disagree with you on that. I believe he's got more power than you think he does.
It's not that I don't think he has the power, I just don't... That's
again, we ran into some technical difficulties, but that being said, I hope you enjoyed the show. We had to cut it a little bit short this week, and of course, we will get back into our Buttery Biscuits Player of the Week next week, and we'll get back on our hockey, so hopefully we can get another show off to you soon. And again, catch us on YouTube, our YouTube channel, my name, William Jarley, and also catch us on CastBox. Just look up the name of the show, Where There Is a Will, There Is a Whalen. And subscribe, and you can bring us anywhere you want, including the bathroom. And I know that's where I want to be in your ear. And yeah, other than that, we'll chat soon. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, bum, bum, bum. Got any grapes? The man said, that's it. If you don't stay away, duck, I'll glue you to a tree and leave you there all day stuck. So don't get too close. The duck said, adios. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Till the very next day, bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man, run in the stand. Hey, bump, bump, bump. Got any glue? What? Got any glue? No, why would I? Oh, then one more question for you. Got any grapes? Bump, bump, bump. Bump, bump, bump. And the man just stopped. Then he started to smile. He started to laugh. He laughed for a while. He said, come on, duck. Let's walk to the store. I'll buy you some grapes so you won't have to ask anymore. So they walked to the store, and the man bought some grapes. He gave one to the duck, and the duck said, no thanks. But you know what sounds good? It would make my day. Do you think this store? Do you think this store? Do you think this store has any lemonade?